talking about reconciliation. We have a ministry as churches of the Lord Jesus Christ as to reconcile the world to the Lord. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
This is our ministry. Paul the Apostle said it was his. And 5 and verse 11, actually we read 5:11 last week, but we will read it again. Eidontes, un ton phobon, tu kyrio, anthropos, pythomen, theo, de, paphon ro metha, elpizo, de, kai, en, tes, sin, e, de, sesin, himen, or himon, that is, pe, fana, ro, seste. Therefore, having known the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge, isn't it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. Is it not?
Yes.
To fear the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. Having known, therefore, the fear of the Lord, men, we persuade. Pythomen, persuade, means to change their minds. To change their minds. Have you ever seen anyone just totally be of one character and within 2 weeks they're of different character? Now, we're not talking about schizophrenia now. We're talking about a person's mind changes, that their character changes within a short period of time. Have you ever known anyone like that, Brother Ray?
No.
I have.
Really?
You.
Oh.
You. Their character changes. Did it change? Did your character change?
No, absolutely.
You're not the same person you were before.
No.
Nope. You don't want to be, do you?
Isn't that the stone cold killer?
Having known, therefore, the fear of the Lord, men, we persuade to God, that's deity singular masculine, that theo there, and then we could verse the conjunctive particle, that day, moreover, we have been made known or manifest, all right? We have been made known or manifest. We've been put on a well-lighted stage, brightly lighted from all angles.
Mm-hmm.
When we're recording videos, we have to have lighting. In the movies, they have lighting. I remember the last movie, big movie that I was in was called Stallions. And it was I showed Marilyn where I was standing and everything in the movie. I was to be a stand-in. I had long braids. And I had a cowboy hat on with my Indian beaded work on it. And I think I had a London fog jacket with the sleeves and the collar beaded that I had done. And anyway, I came up out there and Doug DeGrazio, N7GZE on the radio now, Doug said, I want that man. And he had a long story later on why he explained to me why he wanted me in that. He said, you were the star in that scene. You were the star in that scene. They had me sign a piece of paper. Now, over this building, you saw what the Shalafat Market and Delhi is like in the restaurant.
Yeah.
They had a whole black tarp over the whole thing. It was completely covered up. You couldn't see out or anything at all. All the windows were covered. And all the lighting was inside, and they had a lot of lights shining from every angle. There was not any shadows anywhere. And I walked in there, I had to sign this piece of paper, said I wasn't going to get paid. That sounds like me. Preached for 40 years for nothing. Anyway, I was going to not get paid for this either. So I stood in there, and just behind Rip Torn in this scene. And anyway, Rip Torn was going up there. He was grunting and going on. And we stood there for about 20 or 30 minutes. And they kept shooting. He'd say, cut, cameras, cut, cameras, cut. Doug was back there saying all this stuff. And I didn't even know him at that time. Anyway, so after it was all over, Doug said, here about a year ago, I said, why did you want me in that scene? I want to know, because I was in Charlie Barry, behind the hitman, doing the same thing in that movie. Why did they want me in a movie? Not only because I'm an Indian, you know, but they wanted me. Well, Doug described the situation to me. He says, out here in the middle of nothing, and they shot a scene up the road, which is nothing up there, and they shot a scene back the road, there's nothing back there. No, nothing in any direction. And here Rip Torn comes up here, he's going to go to his friend's father's funeral, and he's going to go get him because he's dying also. And he stops out there in the middle of nothing, and his radiator is spewing water. And then he checks the oil, and there's no oil on the dipstick. And he comes in there defeated. And he's standing behind this Indian that's got everything in order. He's a master of the land. There is no problems with this man out here, stranded in the middle of this. It wouldn't make no difference to him. He'd just go on. Now he tells me all of this story. That's why they wanted me in that movie. But all of these lights. Now it says, Paul says that we're on a stage and our lives are just totally, there is no darkness. It is aletheia, which means what? Truth. No shadows. Truth means no shadows. There is no shadows. Now Paul said there's no shadows in our life. We are on a stage. We are under the ministry of reconciliation. What you do really matters in the world. Does your life affect others? Does your life affect others? Yes, it does. Our life, are we our own? No. Marilyn, you're not your own. You're not going to do your own thing. You're not going to do it. Are you? You're not your own, are you, Vincent? Carol, you're not your own. God owns us. Reconciliation, we're going to look at that when we get to it. Around to it. We have been made manifest, I hope, and also in the consciences of you who have been made manifest. And I hope that we are totally understood. I hope that you understand us. Therefore, being conscious of fearing the Lord with respect and reverence, we seek to win people over, persuade them by what sort of persons we are in plainly recognized and thoroughly understood by God, and I hope, this is the Amplified Bible, that it is plainly recognized and thoroughly understood also by your consciences, by your understanding, that is, by your inborn discernment. Do you have a certain inborn discernment? Do you have a certain discernment that's inborn? Let's go to verse number 12 now. U Pauline Hiapus. Heistan nomen. Himan Allah a for main. Didotes. Himan. Ka tex matos. Hiper. Himon. Hina. Ekate. Prostus. In prosopol. Cox. Omenos. Kai, May, in Cardia. Not again to ourselves we commend to you, but on occasion, kind of now and then, giving, that one there is constantly given to you, a kind of boasting on behalf of us. Now, Brother Ray, do you ever brag on your wife?
Quite often.
Quite often. All right. Do you ever brag on your pastor?
All the time.
All right, do that. Now, that means something, doesn't it? Do you ever brag on your children?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. I've heard you tell good stories about them. Marilyn, do you ever brag on anybody?
Yeah, you.
Oh, me. Okay. It says, bragging on behalf of us, in order that ye may have toward the ones around you, face to face, boasting for ourselves and not in heart. Now let's look at that one from the Amplified Bible. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but we are providing you with an occasion. With an occasion. That means not every day, not constantly, but on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
We have a holiday occasion. We have the Lord's Supper on occasion, don't we? We get preaching on occasion. Not every day, but on occasion. And an incentive to be rightfully proud of us so that you may have a reply to those who pride themselves on the surface appearances, on the virtues they only appear to have, although their heart is devoid of them, of really what they are. A facade. You know what a facade is? That's what Paul's talking about here, facade. What is a facade?
False.
It's a false front. In the movies, they have a lot of facades. They'll have a facade, but there's nothing behind it. They'll have a door, and it goes to nowhere. And that's what some people's lives are like. And Paul is really having a problem with these people. And these are the Jews, aren't they? The Judaizers. And also, John, the apostle, had problems with them. Those people were called what? The Gnostics. The Gnostics. Okay, verse number 13. Ete, gar, ex este men, to you, ete, sophronomen, himen. And I hope you're being able to read some of this now. For whether we are, of our senses, out of our senses. We are out of our senses. Look at that. For if we are nuts, temporary insanity, or occasionally now and then just have a, what they used to call that, being an airhead. Nothing between the ears. We're beside ourselves, mad as some say, to God. Or we are in our senses to you. For it is for God and concerns Him. And if we are in our right mind, it is for your benefit. I tell you, when I was poisoned with arsenic and mercury, you know, mercury makes you go crazy. Your brains are scrambled. My brains were scrambled. I was holding on with all might with reality and trying to differentiate what's real and what isn't real. It was hard. I never discussed that too much with you, but boy, it was hard. Because mercury scrambles your brains. It scrambles your brains. You're never right again. Let's put it that way. Mad as a hatter. The hatters, the people that used to, haberdashers, what do you call it, haberdashers, they used to be insane a lot of times. When John B. Stetson started his hat factory, he went out to Colorado to die. Did you know that? Every hat that I wear is a John B. Stetson hat. Because I had a great respect for that man. And besides that, he made a good hat, and they still make good hats. Far beyond anything else. Anyway, John B. Stetson went out to Colorado because he had tuberculosis, and they told him to go out there to die. So he came out there, and he started watching these cowboys and sheepherders, and they are always sticking something on their head to be like shade. They were putting anything over their heads to be shade. Got to thinking, man, I know how to make hats. So he got a bunch of wool together, beaver wool, and mixed it all up and made a hat. And he had the first Stetson hat. And everybody wanted one. He'd wear it and say, I buy that. What do you want for it? Anything. No price. No, don't matter what the price is. You know, heaven is a ceiling of it. Just say what you want for it. So he sold quite a few hats like that. And then he had a hard time keeping employers because that hats, they would use mercury on them to make them glitter and shine, and they had a brilliance with them. And so he built schools for the children of the hat maker. He built hospitals to treat them with their problems. You know, to get somebody to make hats was a hard thing because most of the hatters were very unreliable because they were nuts. And so he made it possible so he could produce 5 or 10,000 sets of hats a month, and he had a market for all of them. He had built colleges. He did everything. He was the first, the father of the American dream. Mm-hmm. They had health care. They had profit sharing. All of the things that people wish they had today and America had for a while. Jan V. Stetson. Well, these people, Paul said, whether I'm out of my senses, whether I'm lost my mind, whether I'm mad and temporarily insane, it's mad unto God. Mad unto God. Or if we're in our right mind, we're in our right mind for your benefit. Verse number 14. Hagar Agape. Tu Christu. Sinake. Himas. Krinantos. Tuto. Ote. Esiper. Ponton apothane. Ara hoi pontes. Apethanon. For the love. What kind of love is this, Brother Ray?
Agape love.
That is agape love or agapeo. This is sacrificial divine love in it. This is a love that you will give for your life. I read a book one time, or I had a book, I threw it away. Burned it, I think. It was worthless. A guy in about a 100-page book tried to show that the word agape, or agapeo, did not mean divine love. Because it was used in a couple of other places where the Pharisees said they loved the honor of men rather than God. Now, what did that love cost them? Their eternal souls. So they did, they give their souls away. Do they love it unto their soul? Did they? Did they love? They love the praise of men rather than God unto their eternal damnation? Yes, they did. Yes, Brother Ray.
When in 1 John 3:15, I think it says, do not love, that word is agape there. Mm-hmm. Do not love the world.
That's right. If you love the world, what happens?
Well,
what did Charles B. Gatewood tell the old General Miles? If you overcome Geronimo with deceit, is what he told him. If a man gain the whole world and lose his soul, what does he profit? He got mad. You do what I told you to. Read his book by Charles B. Gatewood, The Apache Wars, and then Britton Davis, and then General Crook, his book. You can read all about him. And by the way, General Crook didn't have any good thing to say about Custer. If Custer would have lived, he would have been shot at court-martial if he'd lived that battle, because he lost the whole war because of what he did. And he did it out of orders. He went beyond orders. We have orders from God, don't we? Now, in the army, if they give you orders and you defiantly disobey the orders, it's court-martial.
Right.
Sometimes it's death. That's what he did. We'll talk about that a little bit later. For the love of Christ holds us together, overpowers us. Does it? The love of Christ overpowers you? Overpowers us. Having judged this, having understood this, because one on behalf of all he died, then the ones all they died. The ones all they died. Let's look at that. The last two verses, 13 and 14. For if we have brought aside ourselves mad, as some say, it is for God, and concerns him. If we are in our right mind, it is for your benefit. For the love of Christ, remember what I said, it holds us together, it constrains us, and it's third person saying it, a present and dignity vacuum, which it means it always does. You're never free. Controls and urges and impels us because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. All have died. What do you do when you're baptized, Brother Ray?
What do you do?
Yeah. What is it showing? What is it typifying when you're baptized?
You're denouncing the world. And
what are you doing? What is baptism? Baptism, first of all, is not sprinkling. It's not pouring. It's not rontizo, it's not nipto, but it's baptizo, which means to immerse. And it typifies if you're dying. When I bury somebody, I said, in the name of so-and-so church, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, and raised for what? Newness of life. That's what we do. That's what we are. We die in Christ. We die with Christ, don't we? Our old man dies with Christ. The ones all, they died. That hoi pontes there is a practical substantive in between it, the ones. It says the all, but it means the one. The ones, all of them died with Christ. All of them died with Christ. Verse number 15. This won't be a long lesson, but it's a dynamite lesson because I loved this when I studied it. Kai hiper panon. Apethanein, hina hoi zontes, mekete, hiatois, sosin ala, toheper himon, apothenonte, kai en eger feinte. And on behalf of all, he died in order that the ones living no longer to themselves, they may live. Look at that. They may live. Third person plural present what? Subjunctive active. Third person plural present subjunctive active. They may or may not, huh? What does that entail? That we have volition, huh? That we're not robots, we have volition. And they may live, but to the one on behalf of them having died, and having been raised. The gospel isn't that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. It's that he died on the cross of Calvary for your sake and that he was raised. He died for our sins, was raised for our justifications. Why did the lambs die? Every innocent lamb that ever had its throat cut and its lifeblood flown out on the ground, okay, they stayed dead. They stayed dead, and their sins were forgiven because of that sinless, innocent animal. But that animal didn't raise from the dead, did it? Jesus Christ died for our sins, not just for what we did in the past, but for all of our sins. Because we all sin, don't we? We all sin. He died for all of our sins, and he died and was raised again because he had power over death. The lambs did not have power over death. They only gave their life. Jesus gave his life and then rose also. He died for our sins, but rose for our justification. Verse number 15 in Amplified. For he died for all, so that all those who might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. He was raised for our sake also. He died for us and was raised for us. Verse number 16. Hoste. Himes apo. Tu nin. Udena. Oidamen. Kata sarka. Eke kai egno kamen. Kata. Sarka. Christon. Ala nin. Ukete, genos kamen. All right. So as we are we so as from the now, that's an adverb of time and place, from the now is a period of time. Right here, in the flood happened, didn't it? Did it happen?
Mm-hmm.
I believe the flood happened. Right here, the earth was divided and the languages were confused. The language was confused and then the earth was divided. And right here we have the Egyptian bondage. Did you know that the Jews are saying that the Exodus never happened now, some of them? They said they never left the land. Well, some of them were in the land, yes. But the biggest part of the Jews, I believe the Bible. I don't believe them and the rabbis. They're trying to prove that they are always in the land. That the Canaanites or Palestinians weren't there only. So they're changing the Bible, and the Exodus is the whole reason for Judaism, according to them. That's the whole purpose of them. Mm-hmm. On behalf of all he died, so as we from the now on, we have known according to the flesh. Since therefore we have known according to the flesh, Christ, but now no longer we know him continually. Let's look at that one in verse number 16. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view, according to the flesh. Okay? That's the Sarx. Remember that? Sarx. Kaihel logos Sarx agenito. And what does that say? And the word, Jehovah, flesh he became. It's talking about Sark's flesh here. Not according to the flesh only. No one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint, he really lived. But he was just a person. But what is he in your life now? What is Christ in your life now? And as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. We know him no longer in terms of just another human. But he is our... Sharon, remember? Your answer this morning? How do you know there's a God? Why do you believe in God? And you said, by nature, but by experience and relationship with your life, you know God. 17. Number 17. Hoste aetis en Christo. Kine katisis ta archaea parelthen kidu yegonen kina. So as since. Now that word a there is in English if, but it's not if. This is what we call a first class conditional. Condition determined as fulfilled. It's a statement of fact. For since anyone in Christ, it says kine. Kine means brand new creation. They're not the old person. God has created in you. He's brought himself into your life because the Spirit of God dwells in you, doesn't it? All right, again, the triune nature of God and man, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Here we have our soul, our Father, Son. Son is what? Our body, our flesh, and then what else? The Spirit, like the Holy Spirit. We have body, soul, and spirit. Okay? Now, Spirit here, we have the spirit of our fathers in us, don't we, when we're born into this world? So God, when we're born again, that spirit is kicked out, and we have the spirit of reconciliation in us, and God dwells in us from now on. That's inseparable. God gives us his Holy Spirit as a down payment. Does he or does he not? Absolutely. And then from that point of time on, when you ask the Lord to save your soul from that time on, point of time on, you're not yours. You're his. Because he's put a mark on you. He's branded you for the resurrection. He's branded you that he owns you. Now the next verse. This one here is where we're going to probably finish. Maybe 19. Ta de panta. Ek tu theou. Two katalazantes. Himas. Yato. Dia Christu. Kai dontos. Himen te diakonian. Tes katalages. And moreover, the thing, all, out of the God, that means the source of the God, of the having reconciled, restored, made peace us, with us, to himself, through Christ, and having given to us the service, the work, the administration of the reconciliation. All right, let's look at this word reconciliation. It's katalazontes here. Katalazontes. This is an unbreakable treaty. An unbreakable treaty. Now, let's look here. The word reconciliation is katalage and hilaskomen, or laskomai. Katalage means to make peace. It means to literally lay down all resolutions, making peace with us to himself, through Christ Jesus, so that we would have the reconciliation of Christ to the rest of the world. The word katalage means to make peace. Helaskamai means, let's read what Bullinger says about this. Katalasso, to change against anything, to change against anything. Before we're saved, we're enemies with God, aren't we? We're the wrong people. We're enemies with God before we're saved. We're enemies. You know that? God don't like you. We're enemies with God. If you stay an enemy with God, where do you get to go in the end time? Forever. To file 13, which is eternal hellfire. Now, we're enemies with God. But while we were yet enemies, what? Christ died for us, so he died for all men. He said to change against a thing. To exchange. To trade off. You trade what? What do you trade off? Let's look at this. To change a person. To reconcile to anyone, thus differing from the dialasso, which implies a mutual change. Does God ever change? No. Who has to change? We do. And refers to many, while it is said of the one only, so as to act that the opposite party may lay aside his enmity. People always say that God loves you. I remember one time, now this guy Harold Camping was a super lapsarian, but he wrote out a little tract that says, "Does God love you?" And in so many ways, that is really accurate. Does God love you? Now, God did not create the damned, as superlapsarian Calvinism believes. He didn't create the damned and create the elect. He didn't create the reprobate. He didn't create people to be reprobate. He created all man one way, from one blood, and that's Adam's blood. And all men have a choice. And he makes provision for all man, for all mankind. If you go to hell today, if not because of sin, it's because of rejection of Jesus Christ, is it not? Mm-hmm. That's the way it is. Now this reconciliation doesn't change God, but we are reconciled to God. Apo katalasso, indicating that a thing intended is done altogether, absolutely, or on a greater degree, to change from one state into another, to put away all enmity and to amity follows and no impediment remains to unify, to unity and peace. The alasamai, to change one's feelings toward another, so that change is affected. Do you know some people that hate God? Have you ever seen that people that said, I'm mad at God?
Yeah.
I'm mad at God. I don't like God. Why did he let all this happen and everything else?
Yeah.
When we have a reconciliation with God, we have a different view of God, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
How do you look at God? How do you look at God? How do you look at God? I've talked to Muslims, a lot of Muslims. They said, I don't want to have anything that, with God that would choose a people and damn, choose one and damn the other. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God did choose Israel, didn't he?
Yep.
He told them to go back in the land, but what? How did he choose them? He chose them with foreknowledge. Did he damn every Palestinian? No. But those that would not come, he damned. Did he damn every Canaanite? No. But the biggest majority of them, he knew what they would do. But we have them in the faith line, don't we? We have Rahab the harlot. And we have Ruth the Moabitess. And what does Moab mean? Water from the father. That was a child of incest. Talalage, to change on the part of one, partly only induced by some action on the part of another. The reconciliation of men by the love of God in the gift of his Son. And the ministry of reconciliation, not the office of teaching, the doctrine of remission or expiation. Now, I'm going to tell you something. No priest nor Muhammad can forgive your sins. Do you know that in the Muslim faith that all Muslims have to go to hell? Did you know that?
Yeah.
They all have to go to hell. But when they pray in Muhammad's name in all reality, and they pray that Muhammad will be their intercessor. There's only one intercessor between man and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. He gave himself. God became flesh and gave his life for us. It's an office of advisory, exhorting, beseeching men to be reconciled to God. For it is not God who is the enemy of men, but men who are the enemies of God. Were we enemies of God? The Bible says we were.
Mm-hmm.
Reconciliation, haloskamai, to incline oneself toward another. We need to incline ourselves to God. We don't need to hate God, be mad at God. The profane Greek is to appease, to propitiate the God. How did the pagans appease their gods? How did they do it?
They
sacrificed something. This is the difference between the God of the world, the God of the pagans, and the God that we love and that loves us. The pagan gods were a vicious, mean God, and if you didn't give your child, that means cut the child's throat or whatever, burn him alive, burn your sister, burn your mother, burn your father, some terrible sacrifice that you had to make to appease the gods. Now, I want you to look at this. How is God appeased? How is our God appeased? By his Son becoming flesh and dying being humiliated on the cross of shame and dying for us sinners. The Greek differs remarkably only in Genesis 32:20 and Zechariah 7:2. Is the construction like profane Greek use? They're talking about Septuagint, by the way. And here for the Hebrew is nasa, to lift up and be gracious, and chala, to beseech and implore. Elsewhere, that's it. Nasa and chala, all right? Elsewhere, it is never joined with the accusative or dative of the person whose goodwill is to be won. God did not make you a robot. God did not make you to be damned or to be elected. didn't make you that way. We have that volition. And that's a reconciliation. If God created the elect, why would he have to reconcile? God is never the object of the action denoted. It never means to conciliate God. There's nothing we can do to change God, is there? It is the equivalent of Nassau because it was the set expression for expiatory acts through totally different from the heathen idea. For God is not himself alienated from man, but in order that he may not be necessitated to act otherwise, for the righteousness sake, an expiation is necessary. The expiation is necessary. The atonement is necessary. The expectation is of God, his love anticipating and meeting his righteousness. Nothing happens to God, as in the heathen view. Rather, something happens to man who escapes the wrath to come and remains in the covenant of grace. Have you ever heard of unconditional surrender? Why, marriage used to be that way, Sharon. Did you know that? When a woman married a man, she had no more rights. That's what it is. And in part of the world, that's the way it is today. They've lost all self, and they have no rights. In World War I, even go back to the Civil War. Now, the Civil War was a horrible time in American history, wasn't it? Did you have somebody in the Civil War, Sharon?
Yeah.
Your family? Marilyn, you had some people in the Civil War. Yeah. Now, I have people on both sides of the Civil War in my family. The Chickasaw Nation, the Chickasaw Legion, was the last to surrender in the Civil War. But yet, my family on the Stuart side, which were Cherokee, were on the, what we call the Union. Now, the United States had quite a problem because the greatest general that ever lived was Robert E. Lee, and he was the superintendent of West Point. The greatest general that ever lived. And all of his students that came out of there, Robert E. Lee was a master. And they couldn't whip him. Lee would thrash him. And he didn't want to. Lee didn't want the Union to split up. Lee put down John Brown's rebellion. He put it down. He was the one that did that. That was when the South was, the North against the South. He stopped it. He did everything he could do to keep the Union from splitting. But when Virginia went, he followed his state because he was a son of Virginia. The Army of Virginia. And they asked him finally to become the general. And Abraham Lincoln couldn't whoop him with no general. McClellan, at first, was just made one mistake after the other, and Lee was just wiping him out. And Lee cried every time he killed one soldier on the other side. He wept. He prayed for their souls. He hated what he was doing, but he knew how to do it real well. He knew how to do it. He fought and fought. Finally, they got Sheridan and Grant. And Sheridan and Grant were the men with no conscience, with as far as the lives of other men. And they would just throw men at him, and he would wipe them out, whole companies. And it was making him sick, making Lee sick, killing all. He had a heart attack during one battle from the sickness of it, from the mass slaughter and carnage. He hated it. And finally, at the end of the war, when he finally saw no hope, he surrendered to Appomattox. He was the greatest general that ever lived. All of the generals on the other side, all the officers and all the men took their hat off when Lee walked out of that place. To Lee, not to Grant. Lee was a Christian gentleman. But he made an unconditional surrender. When you make an unconditional surrender, what do you have left? Do you have any rights? No. You don't have any rights. World War One. When the Allies whipped Germany, Germany had no rights. No rights. World War Two, when the Allies whipped Japan and Germany, they had no rights. No rights. They couldn't say anything. They had no rights at all. No more rights than what they graciously gave them. No rights. Unconditional surrender. Now let's think about it. Unconditional surrender. That's an this treaty that we're going to make here is an unconditional surrender. I told you several times, Geronimo was never whipped. They never whipped him. He whipped over 20,000 men with 35. Not possible. Miles, when he became general, he finally had to deceive him and tell him that they were going to go down to Florida and someplace else and they could go back to their land after 2 years. That was a lie. I told you that Charles B. Gatewood told him, he said, it's better if a man gain the whole world and lose his soul, what does he profit? Yeah, they got it by deceit. They couldn't whip him, but they deceived him. God doesn't deceive you, people. He doesn't deceive you. The reconciliation is that we believe that Jesus Christ came, that He is God the Son, that He died on the cross of Calvary for you and for every man that ever lived, that He was raised for our justification. Now, what do you give? Now, God is righteous, true, and just in me. And we are born enemies of God, aren't we? What do you give to God? There was a thing by Bill Bright that had out, and it had a little drawing of a throne. You're either on that throne or God's on that throne, aren't you? In your life? You're either on the throne or God is on the throne. Who's on the throne of your life? Who's on the throne? Now, when we finally surrender to God our lives, when we ask God to forgive us for rejecting His Son all of these years, when we finally ask Him to save our souls because of what Jesus did, you know what? That's an unconditional surrender. We don't really have any rights left, do we? Mm-hmm. Really? Do we? What do you want to keep of your old life? What do you want to keep about it? What do you still desire about your old way? Is there anything there to keep? Is there? Is there anything there? Reconciliation. God is not in the wrong, is He? Is He?
He's in control.
God is not in the wrong. We are the ones that are in the wrong. We are in the wrong, not God. Verse number 19. Hos hote theos. Ho hote theos. A en Christo cosmon. Katalason. Hiato. Me logisomenos autois ta para ketoma ta auton kai themenos en himen ton logon tais katalages. So as that God kept on being in Christ, the world reconciling to Himself. Not reconciling, bringing accountable debt to them in the trespasses of them, and having placed in us the word of reconciliation. Now we have, let's read this in the Amplified 18 and 19. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation altogether, a new creature. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the flesh, behold, the fresh and new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor and brought us into peace and harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. We're peacemakers. By the word, indeed, we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. The world is out of harmony. The world is enemies with God. And it is our job to make our lives such a way that people will say, there's something different about them. There's something different about them. And we give them the message that made us different. It is God, it was God personally and present in Christ, reconciling and restoring, making peace and restoring the world to favor with himself, not accounting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration and favor. Verse number 20, Hypercristo un praise buomen hos to theou parakalontes dehemon diomatha hypercristou katalagete to theou. Number 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We are, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you, for his sake, to lay hold of the divine favor now offered to you and reconciled, be reconciled to God. That is beautiful. God made all the moves. All we have to do is surrender. We didn't have to go to war to be beat up, did we? Did we have to go to war to be beat up? Did we have to lose our brothers, sisters, and everything else in this world? And be down with a wall against my back against the wall and with no food to eat, no provisions, nothing. God didn't take the world away from you. He took you out of the world. Because the world's still there, isn't it? Just like that. The world is just there. To the world, Christ is just a person. But it's our job to tell the world about Christ. And to tell him how much he gave to reconcile us, to make peace with us. To make peace with us. Have you surrendered to the Lord? Isn't it something funny how we surrender to the Lord? How much of our life we surrender to the Lord? How much of your life have you surrendered to the Lord? How much? How much? How much more does he need? How much more do you need to surrender? That's what we call just emptying ourselves of the world and having Christ in us as our Lord and Savior. Sanctification in so many ways. Sanctification. I remember I joined Valley Baptist Church. I was going through some terrible, terrible times. I was teaching there. And I went down and joined the church. And then I went down a few weeks later again and went to the altar. And people asked me, why did you go back down there? You were saved last week. No, I said, no, I wasn't saved then. I was saved a long time ago. I went down and joined the church. Then I went down and gave another piece of my life to the Lord. I said, I'm yours. Here I am. I'm yours. Here I am. Do something with me. Did he do something with me? In history, did he do something with me? I tried not to keep too much for myself. I gave it to him. 20-something years ago, when I surrendered to come to this church, that was another piece. It was a great delight. Great delight. I thank you for putting up with me. Have you got something to surrender to the Lord? Have you unconditionally surrender to Him. Those out there, I saw a boy yesterday when I was all dirty and filthy down there. He was all clean, looking real nice. Spiffy, getting things. He looked at me, couldn't hardly recognize me. He said, boy, he said, when I gave my Lord to the life to the Lord, he said, He was the Lord of my life. He's still the Lord of my life. I was glad to hear that. He said, I didn't go back in the world of gangsters and things and drugs and all that. He said, I am happy. I am just so overjoyed. Reconciliation. Reconciliation. There's always something in your life, one more step to make, isn't there? Mm-hmm. One more something to give to the Lord. One more thing. You have something today between you and God. Give that to Him, too. Vincent, what do we have?
Hymn 453.
Church, we honor you with our hearts and our lives. Forgive us where we fail you. Help us to be peacemakers and help us to surrender more of our lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.